Hi, friends, and welcome to our pre-full moon meditation for a very important festival, the festival of Leo Aquarius, Leo Sirius, not Aquarius, but that's the opposite sign. And Syrian involvement is something that we really have to take deeply into consideration, because so many good things come to our solar system because of Sirius and its Great White Lodge, and sometimes called the Blue Lodge on Sirius. It's the model for all of our initiatory process, which leads in the right direction. There's a fair number of us here, and I'm really glad to see you, and Michael Crow and BL are keeping me on target here. So, you know, hopefully I stay that way. We're the actual full moon is coming up right away, actually. So this pre-full moon is just not too many hours ahead of the actual full moon, which is at, we begin, Tuya will begin her broadcast at 1 o'clock GMT. And then an hour and 36 minutes later at 2:36 and 49 seconds GMT, we will have the actual full moon in Leo. It's going to be one of the most important festivals of the future, where the entire hierarchy, including all the new members, is recognized by Sanat Kumara. It's hard to say what this recognition will entail, but it's a real moment of power. And we know with Leo that there are important rays coming through, 1 and 5. And since it is the second of the fire signs, it's connected with consciousness and with the heart and with love, wisdom, basically. And with many initiations, actually, and burning grounds and so forth, as maybe, let's see what you see on the screen here. Yeah, okay. You see the mantra of Leo, I am that and that I am, or am I? It starts with I am, which is simply a separative recognition, and it goes on to I am that, which is considered a unitive soul recognition, and then it goes on to I am that and that am I, or maybe I am that and that I am. I always get those twisted around, and sometimes you get different ones in different books by the Tibetan. But what is that, you know? And somehow it is a nameless something, which is pure being, or what the Vedantists and the Brahmins are looking for, the substratum, which is reality itself. And then there's another, maybe even more mysterious mantra associated with Leo. It goes, I am that I am. So, you know, it deals with the mystery of what one really is. And so much of what we're attempting to do is find our own true identity. and not be victims of mistaken identity. It's one of the greatest inhibitors of the realization of reality, is to be immersed in mistaken identity. We may think we are one thing, and from the point of view of the great illusion, we seem to be that. But something greater and beyond is what we really are. The Leo is triply ruled by the sun, we know, and probably I won't see this the way I want to. Whoop. The sun is considered, in an interesting hint by the Tibetan, to be veiling Jupiter in its exoteric mode. So the sun is not the real ruler. The veiled planet is the ruler. And he hints at Jupiter, and it's quite an interesting thought. You know about Jupiter. Tuya was mentioning it a little earlier today in the sacred pentagram work, that Jupiter was almost big enough or powerful enough to become a star. And then we would have had a twin system. As a matter of fact, there are more doubles, solar systems which have two suns, than there are that have the single sun. And I know that's very surprising. The esoteric ruler is Neptune, and that is dealing with the heart of the sun, the soul of the Sota Logos, and the flames that are connected with the soul of that logos on the cosmic mental plane. And this is, even though Neptune is very strangely related to our present solar system, so that some theosophical works say it's not even a part of our solar system and is some kind of visitor and doesn't conform to Bode's law, whereby the spacing of the planets appear in regular, predictable sequence. Neptune is kind of out of alignment with all that, yet it is a great second-ray monad, and from a certain respect, via the Christ, it can relate us to the cosmic astral plane and to a truer condition of love than we can experience normally on the cosmic physical plane. And then, you know, we also have Uranus, which is the veiled hierarchical ruler of Leo. And when we're dealing with a hierarchical ruler, we're dealing with the energies of the central spiritual sun. Now, anytime you hear the words central spiritual sun, you have to think of the monad. And we, all of us, have a replica of the central spiritual sun within our own microcosmic nature. It is the monad, but on the cosmic monadic plane, we're probably going to find the true central spiritual sun of our solar logos. So this is all about the initiate consciousness and what we might call the final burning ground. If you check out the crises through which people will pass at different stages of their evolution, something called the final burning ground, is ruled by Leo and has a great deal to do with Uranus as the major spirit ruler of that particular sign. Now, most of us would do well if we could respond to the heart of the sun. And that would mean that our own soul was activated and that we knew beyond words what was the state of soul. Just pause on that for a moment. Beyond words, the consciousness of the soul. See, we have a lot of words for these things, but do we have the experience? Okay. So those are the kind of rulers of Leo, the triple sun, and veiling something at each point. Just the way, in a certain sense, the three rulers of Cancer are Neptune, Neptune, Neptune. Not just the moon, Neptune, Neptune. There are mysteries involved here, and one day in the sign Capricorn, when we are truly third degree initiates, we will stand on the symbolic mountaintop of initiation, of transfiguration, and we will be, DK promises us, quite astounded at the passage, seeing the passage of all these energies and how they condition us. Now let's see. Oh, that's what it took. This is the Jafra illustration. It's simple. It shows the rampant lion, of course. It shows the lion in his first ray mode. He is what's called the king of beasts. And down here in the lower right, let's make sure that you're seeing this, because, yeah, you should be. Hercules is wrestling with the lion. Now, the lion is the king of beasts, okay? But Hercules, in a way, is the unicorn, and he gets the right from defeating the lion to sit on the lion's skin. One of the illustrations, beautiful illustrations that Francis Donald has made, and which are on our Makara website, shows the would-be initiate sitting on the lion's skin at the top of the. Maybe I can get there. Possibly. Well, I guess not. That might be more a Capricorn illustration. But I would just advise, and probably BL can direct you where to go if you haven't been there already, to check out Francis's illustrations. Here's an illustration of group initiation with Christ somehow magically and mysteriously facing every member of the initiatory group. I remember long ago when I was made a Mason in 1974, so it was almost 50 years ago, there were a lot of people interested in Masonry, and usually you go through the initiation ceremony on your own. Basically, it's kind of a memorizing of text, you don't really have to explain it. You just have to have memorized it. So that's a bit of a degeneration from what it should be, I think. But I was with two other guys, and you know, we had to alternate in giving our memorized response, because group initiation, even on that lower level, was already occurring. So what we learn about group initiation is that the time-space schedule of our planetary logos will be thrown off unless there is the emergence of group initiation. So here the Christ seems to be facing one initiate, but actually he's facing them all. And, you know, check this out with Francis's text, because it's very good. Here you see the epsilon, which is the fifth letter. It's the E, you know, and the fifth, we're talking about the fifth ray and passing through and across the burning ground to the goddess Sekhmet. No one to mess with, I think. The body of the woman and the head, is it the head of the lion? Or is it vice versa? Yeah, it's the head of the lion, all within the aura of the Sphinx, which is the body of the lion and the head of the woman. Now you have to go across those burning coals to reach the initiator, in this case, Sekhmet, a very ferocious kind of female goddess. And about Leo, I wanted to say, when you check out the list of crises, and I think they're on page 273 or 4 of Esoteric Astrology, the Leo is given the distinction of ruling the final burning ground. Normally, a burning ground just gets rid of sort of personality hindrances, which keep you from going through the magnetized door. And maybe for the first three initiations, that's the case. But when you're facing the fifth initiation, something else is finally burning up, and it's the entire causal body, which has gone supernova at the fourth degree, and is now a bunch of debris, which has to be cleared away so that the initiation of revelation, which is the fifth initiation, can take place. Now, all these are mysteries to us, but mysteries with which the hierarchy concerns itself, because their consciousness is focused in the spiritual triad, and they are moving towards mastership or towards Chohanship of the first degree, becoming planetary spirits, or Chohanship, like the Christ and Buddha, working on the second degree, which is really the seventh degree. So the Egyptians really knew something, and they had a special relationship with Sirius. I think they called it Sothis, and that relationship connected with Orion and with the path that most human beings will take when they have made their great decision at the sixth initiation. The majority of human beings will, the bulk, as it is said, will go to Sirius to be trained as solar angels, and will come back, well, when will they come back? Will it be in this solar system? I think so. But certainly in another way, they will come back in the next solar system. So what I think is really important is that we, well, let me excuse what I'm going to say, take seriously. You know, go out there on some night when Sirius is rising and the three kings of Orion are pointing towards it, and sit down and meditate on this whitish blue star, but which has, in a way, all the different colors sparkling in it. And try to realize the potential of this star and what it has meant to humanity over thousands of years and probably over millions of years. It is connected with our spiritual history and with our development. And like Alcyone and some of the other noteworthy stars, the stars of the Great Bear, Dubay and Merrick and so forth, it must not be overlooked, because the true path to initiation is the Sirian path. And if we go into the desert, allegorically speaking, after we are baptized with fire, now these days, baptism through fire, we will be confronted with certain temptations, which, for the sake of convenience, we can call the world, the flesh, and the devil. And if we pass those temptations, as the Christ has demonstrated how to deal with them on a much higher level than we will have to deal with them, then we are no longer a hazard to the whole hierarchical process. That's the word he uses, hazard. And we can take the Sirian path towards transfiguration, which is a great illumination. Sirius is so interesting in the sense that not only does it bring outstanding illumination, but it brings a great Christ-like love. So I would say of Sirius, much like Venus, it has a fifth ray soul and a sixth ray, second ray monad. I would say exactly the same of Venus, which is a kind of much smaller replica of Sirius. So these are the things, friends, which lie ahead of us if we can continue to build our causal body in a diligent manner and accept the advice of our training master. Master DK, I'm doing a lot of work now on the discipleship books. You know, you can listen to those if you wish. But his advice is extraordinarily good and will lead you out of glamour and out of illusion toward the proper path towards glorification, which begins at the transfiguration. Now, I just want to say, I know Francis has some wonderful things that he has said, and rather than get into them right now, I'm just going to recommend that you go to, I think it is Moria Federation BL, isn't it? Where we find his
yes,
work.
Yes, I put the link in the chat for everyone.
Thank you. I always remind us of that because Francis is such a multi-talented person, and you probably, some of you, attend his webinars on the secret doctrine and on the secret teachings of all ages. And they are very good, very good. So it's part of his offering, whether it happens to be in art or scholarliness or music, a real Ray 4, Ray 2 offering. And I'm just saying, and we have in our weekly schedule somewhere here, I'm not even sure where anymore, but we have in our weekly schedule when Francis will be presenting. And I'm not sure, is it this coming Sunday? Is that correct? Or I wish I had that in front of me, but I don't exactly want to go.
Michael, I'll put it in the thing. No, it was last Saturday. Okay. So his next one is Secret Teachers of All Ages on the 1st of August.
Okay. Well, we're getting there. So it's a very rich presentation we're having from Francis along multiple fronts, you know, and you know, it's my hope, and this is not the a number of the teachers in the Moria Federation have been doing presentations, BL and Eva and well, I'm forgetting
Nicole and David Hopper and a lot of us.
Thank you. That's great. I just kind of lose my mind a little bit here. Okay. We've been trying to pour all this out for you. So during this 4 years or so, a little less now, before the great convocation of 2025, we get as solid a foundation of the great teaching as may be possible, and then Master DK will continue with his bridging treatises, and who knows what he will present, but I think a lot of material on the first ray will be presented. And you know that Aquarius and its opposite sign, Leo, will be very important in all of these presentations. Like Dane Rudyard, the great astrologer, used to say, well, there's no such thing as a stick with only one end. So, you know, you've got the age of Aquarius Leo coming up. And not just in the sense of 2,500 years approximately, but in the sense of 25,000 or even closer to 26,000 years, a kind of age, huge age, of Aquarius Leo. It's sorry, it's called a great Platonic year. So that's the kind of cycles that the masters think in relation to. They what do they say? Their strides, you know, like when you're walking and taking big steps, their strides span centuries. So we have to think friends in terms of larger cycles. Well, I think that's all I'm going to say right now. Just please check out Francis's work. And as far as Joffre goes, we seem to have the seven-stringed harp in the lower left and sunflowers behind. It's actually a fairly simple drawing, but we all have to become crowned, we might say. The true monad is a jewel in the crown of the planetary logos, and we are destined one day to hold that position, but we have to proceed wisely and patiently. Okay. So, let's get into, if I can find it, hopefully, somewhere here it is. Let's see. One of these is it. I guess this one. Yep. This is our meditation. And we are really in the day of safeguarding, because the actual full moon is just a matter of hours ahead. Maybe, 6 hours or less ahead. So everything is quite condensed here. And I'll try to make this big enough so I can actually see something. And I assume you see the meditation. Okay.
Yes, we do.
And yeah, that's it. Let me know in case I'm doing my favorite thing, talking about something that doesn't appear on the screen. So the days of confidence and aspiration and dedication are past now, and we're into that day of safeguarding. Now, we don't know in what manner DK is treating our approaching groups. Obviously, he is aware of them, but he had a special responsibility to the groups he had assembled 90 years ago. And, you know, said, look, I'll be watching for group approach in the 12 hours preceding the full moon. So maybe something of his vigilant watching is occurring as we receive and hold these really potent energies, and then we'll be facing the possibility. And Tuya's work with the sacred pentagrams will help. Days of registration and the sense of expectancy. We do a 5-day work, and some others of our colleagues do a 7-day work, but whichever way it goes, we kind of bring in belief as a final brain awareness, with the sense of expectancy being astral and the registration being mental. So we get ourselves into our meditative posture, so to speak, inner posture. And we withdraw our consciousness from the personality and its vehicles, one after another. We use the mantra, I have a body, but I am not that body. I have the states of feeling, but I am not the astral elemental. I have the many thoughts that go with the concrete mind, but I am not that concrete mind. Really, I am the soul in incarnation. And we rise up out of our usual personal identification and imaginatively we establish ourselves, we feel ourselves as a soul in the field of light, love, and spiritual power. And a very special kind of recognition comes over us when we manage to identify as the soul. It's a lot different than just talking about it. So we merge ourselves within a deep sense of the group soul. Somehow there is a unity among us. We're not just separated meditators in different parts of the world. We've stepped into a sense of unification with each other. And in the same way, we unite in soul with the spiritually minded people of the world. We can reach out in soul to them, the men and women of goodwill. And even more so, the new group of world servers who are serving more regularly and with greater intensity and determination than will be possible for the average man or woman of goodwill. There is something that really binds us together in the state of soul. Wherever there's a really good person working consciously or unconsciously with the divine plan, it's easier to feel that sense of unity. And it wouldn't make any difference in what country we imaginatively search, we will find the members of the new group of world servers. But still, there is the one soul of all humanity. And DK advises in Rule 5 no longer to use the thought, thy soul and my soul and thy soul. Don't use that thought. In words, we often do, but it's not really correct. Something else is happening, and we begin to realize the truth of the great mantram, second ray mantram, naught is but me. Naught is but me. And that is so powerful and so different from thinking of people as individual or separated, which really isn't true. Not is, but me. It's a great inclusive state of mind. Doesn't make any difference who it is and whether you approve of their personal behavior or not, we have to get beneath that level of liking and disliking or approval or rejection. Never easy to do. Not is but me. And then, of course, there is the Antikarana, multicolored, which seems to rise from the astral body through a pool of retained energies around the mental unit on the fourth subplane of the mental plane. We pull in the light of the soul, the love of the soul, the sacrificial will of the soul, the sense of synthesis of the soul, and the dominating monadic will centering itself in the jewel and the lotus. This is the pool of retained energies, and it is as if passes from the astral body to the buddhic plane through that pool. But really, we see for group meditation purposes more of an indigo hue for the whole Antikorana. And we do launch our projection from the mental unit into the triad with the words, I see the greatest light. Because we are aspiring to be sensitive to greater lights found in the triad. And outwardly we sound the Om, and we say to ourselves three times, I see the greatest light. I'll try to. Use the original sound. Hopefully it's not too bad so that the Om, regardless of my voice at the present time, can be sustained. I see the greatest light, Om. And our first point of approach is the monastic permanent atom on the highest sublevel of the mental plane. We're not going to reach it immediately, and nor are we going to reach the Buddhic and Atmic permanent atoms. They are too far beyond reach, but some response may come that indicates to us an aspect of the greatest light. So something from above will descend, and eventually there will be a meeting of that which aspires or projects and that which is evoked and responds to the projection. And eventually when it reaches the monad or comes towards the monad, the father will run forth from the house, the father's home, to greet the prodigal son returning. So a kind of wisdom is coming to us. We can expect it now. A kind of wisdom. The hierarchy focuses largely within the triad, maybe. Some scientific ashrams are still on the higher mental plane, but the greater number are within the Buddhic nature of the triad. And maybe a few or something on the first ray to be found on the atmic level. So we will express our solidarity, which we must always sustain, with our elders, those who have gone on before us. We will salute them and try to feel the gratitude which we should rightly feel. Master Moria tells us with gratitude there are the best fires, he says. We will salute them with the gratitude that is appropriate and inwardly pledge to be part of their externalizing effort. Om. Salutations to the Christ, the Master of all masters, and the teacher alike of angels and of men. Om. Salutations to the triangle of masters with whom we most usually work most closely, Master M, K, H, and DK. Salutations to Master M, Master Moria, the head of all esoteric schools and organizations. Salutations to the Master Kutumi, whose ashram is most involved in preparing the way for the coming of his brother, the Lord Maitreya. Salutations. He will be the Christ or Bodhisattva of the age of Capricorn. Salutations to the Master Jwalkul, who has, as the sanctioned messenger of the hierarchy, given us the blue books and so much of the secret doctrine as well and intends to continue the bridging treatises. His is the training ashram, training us for deeper discipleship and even the first three initiations. Salutations to your own master as you believe him to be, conceive him to be, or know that he is. Salutations to the entire spiritual hierarchy of our planet. So our intent is deep cooperation with those who are externalizing on behalf of the entire planet under the guidance of the Master of all Masters, the Lord Maitreya, the Christ. And then, as a group, we raise our thought to the center where the will of God is known. And with deepest reverence and in all humility, we attempt, identified as a group, as the group soul, to attune with the presence, the imagined presence of Sanat Kumara standing at the center of that point of tension we call Shambhala. We seek to be under the guidance of the divine will as it emanates from him. And inwardly we sound a long, silent om, imagining the group imbued with his energy. live a life guided by as much of the divine will as possible is not the ordinary life. And then we will begin our imaginative journey on the golden pathway into the indigo sphere, related to the blue or indigo logos. So all of us are as if condensed into a point. We are one being with one consciousness hovering above the golden pathway. And we know this is what Master DK has given us in one of his full moon meditations. This pathway shortens and shortens, and we ride with it until we find ourselves in the midst of the indigo sphere. And it is there that we can become outposts of the consciousness of Master DK. He can, being an expert in these planetary, ray, and hierarchical energies, help us appreciate the energies now available. In a way, we will meet our image of the solar logos and the planets veiled. Jupiter, Neptune, and Uranus. Neptune of the deepest indigo blue. A beautiful planet. And Uranus having the blue-green, and Jupiter, one of the gas giants, with a great red spot. So we ponder here on the power of the sun, the vehicle of our solar logos, who is called Helios, the Most High. He is Sol, S-O-L, the One. He who stands alone. And we try to conceive of the sun as the great symbol of microcosmic and macrocosmic identity on three levels. The personal self, the individual or egoic self, and the spirit or monadic self. The triple sun. And we realize that the solar logos, and his vehicle, the sun, as the effective source of life, a great repository of all kinds of radiation that it requires to sustain life, a source of life, of consciousness and will within our entire solar system. Without staring too intently at the sun, it's good to radiate or meditate in the presence of its radiation and to realize as much as possible just what you are seeing. Imagine going through our life and not paying too much attention to the body of the solar logos on our own levels. It seems like a huge evasion of that which can truly reveal the mysteries of our solar system. As a monad, we realize that our true home is found within the sun. Our true spirit home, then, is within the sun. In terms of spirit, we are sun beings. It's easy to forget down here in this lunarly conditioned world. But there is Jupiter with the sun, being the planet most like the sun, just as Venus is the planet most like Sirius. And as we ponder our true monadic home within the sun, we realize a tremendous inclusiveness. Which can affect the consciousness and must. And then we can move on to the beautiful blue of Neptune esoterically. The sun veils Neptune esoterically. And Neptune is the home of the solar flames, a higher octave of Venus. And we can focus within what for us is the heart of the sun. Yes, it's our heart center, but it's also the causal body of the solar logos on the first level of the cosmic mental plane. So this is the soul-centered alignment. From the heart of the sun, through Neptune, through Venus, through Sanat Kumara, the Lord of Venusian love, in Shambhala, through the Christ and his hierarchy, through the group soul and your own soul nature, and into the heart, in the head centers, and the heart centers of all group members, including yourself. A great love, wisdom, intuitive alignment. Attempt to feel the glowing warmth of love divine. Expressed through the heart in the head center, and as compassion and selfless love through the heart center. And we let this Neptunian energy, this solar Neptunian energy, second ray energy, flow into our group and groups on the sound of the Om. Let that alignment really condition our group process. And then we ponder on the transcendental power of the sun, veiling Uranus in relation to Leo from the hierarchical perspective. Maybe we're not there yet, but some are approaching. And we attune with this solar Uranian power to convey the will of the solar logos through the divine flames of Neptune. The will also of our planetary logos and the will of the monad, the very center of our own system. This one day for us will be the electric fire of pure spirit. emanating from the logoic sea of fire. Passing through you as a monad, through the spiritual triad, into the jewel in the lotus, a monadic extension, and finally expressing purposefully through the central jewel in your crown center and the crown centers of all group members, very high things we're talking about here, an attempt to realize the will to express through electric fire the divine archetype of your true essential spirit, your essential identity, and attempt to realize the occult oneness of all. We will convey this to the group. The flash of the occult oneness. This does lie ahead, of course. And we raise our consciousness imaginatively towards the solar logos and toward the sunshine of the major sun, the star Sirius, and its great logos, who is the teacher and guide and initiator of our own lesser solar logos. It is an intimate relationship. What do they say? Ashramic intimacy? Well, these are far greater ashrams, and the intimacy far more intense, but relevant to us. So we attempt to feel this stream of Sirian energy at this time of the full moon in Leo. There is a certain silence, a certain solemnity. In this process, the initiatory power of the Sirian energy on whose stream of initiation we are meant to travel, even though the path to Sirius might not be our own path. But this is the time when the Sirian energy should be felt most strongly. How important it is to the spiritual hierarchy as a whole, as yearly that hierarchy is recognized on this Syrian-Leonian stream, and Shambhala sets the seal on the acceptance of the hierarchy and all its new associates, an august body focused upon at the August full moon. It's called the August full moon, in which we all, hopefully, one day will be included. So let's realize this Syrian stream moving through every monad, soul, and personality on planet Earth. Let's treat this as a holy time. It's rare that such high energies are available. It is rare. And in the silence, perhaps, we can feel them. So, we open ourselves to the Leonian energies and its light. It's called the light of the soul. We open ourselves to Sirius Sothis. We ponder deeply that which can be discovered on the Sirian line of initiation. I am that, and that am I. We ponder that mantra and we intensify it as the time of the full moon will approach at 2:36 and 49 seconds GMT. For us tomorrow, well, GMT is tomorrow morning, GMT. I am that. and that am I. This means we will not be satisfied with being a tiny, isolated human unit. That is simply a Maya, and we can go beyond that in the understanding of I am that, and that am I. And that is to be found everywhere in universe. And finally, even beyond the confines of any universe. That and that am I is such an elevation from our usual self-conception. So really just a few hours remain, less than 6 hours really, till the exact time of the full moon, and some of you will be asleep in the period leading up to the full moon, and some of you will be having your waking day. Either way, if you sleep, try to go to sleep with that thought. I am that, and that am I. And if you are normally awake, it will be possible for you to deepen your pondering of it. And so, within the heart and the head center of the one about whom naught may be said, the constellation Leo is one of the 12 petals. That is the major center in that logos, and in any logos or man. And it goes forth, perhaps involving the constellation Orion as a potential heart center within the one about whom, and then into our solar system with the sun, our sun, as a major center, a heart center in a cosmic logos. And from our sun to Jupiter to Neptune to Uranus, and thence to our planet, assembled as energies in Shambhala, and then directed to hierarchy and from all monads to all souls and into the normal mechanism of man, the heart and the head center, the heart center, from very high places, the energies now available are streaming forth. And are in the silence very available to us now. And with that stream, the Sirian energy flows. Keep both in mind. Leonian energies combined with Sirian energies giving us a unique opportunity . Let us be sensitive enough to realize the nature of this opportunity, or at least something of it. And let it make a difference in the coming year, so that maybe we can pass those temptations and we can direct ourselves along the Sirian pathway, which leads one day to the fifth initiation. There is a difference between that Sirian path and the way of higher evolution, which takes the bulk of humanity to Sirius. try to be quiet enough within yourself so that something of this opportunity can be realized. It is a special time, and on the sound of the Om we can, as it were, direct these two streams towards an area of the world which really needs their combined energies. Now, friends, we're going to close our meditation with the great invocation. Realizing that if we can tread the path of true identity and the path of real initiatory spirituality using the Sirian energy, then at last we will understand this great invocation. From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light descend on earth. I'll make sure we can see this. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to earth. From the center, where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men. The purpose which the masters know and serve. from the center, which we call the race of men, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Om. Friends, we have just about 4 hours before we meet for the beginning of the actual full moon service meditation, and then again at in 5 hours and 36 minutes from now, we will have the actual full moon. So at 2:36:49 GMT. I hope to see some of you there, and I appreciate your attendance, as does Tuya and the whole communications team, which is helping so valiantly with all of these broadcasts. So we'll see you before long, at least some of you, and keep in mind the Syrian path, and I am that, and that am I. And maybe we can get this, depends on how fast it converts, but maybe up on Makara, I don't know, or YouTube channel. And if you want to review any of it before the actual full moon, I don't think it's necessary, but we will try to get it up there best we can. So, lots of love, many blessings, and we'll see you soon. Bye-bye.